Thank you, worship team. You know, as the storm was approaching last week, it's there in my house, and I don't know if you know about my house, but I got some big old oak trees in our yard and in our backyard especially, and so I kind of go upstairs every, you know, when I begin to feel the gust come through, and kind of would look out the upstairs window and watch the trees just swirling, and just knowing that in any moment they were going to just be lifted out of their roots and onto my house. In that moment, there's fear, right? I don't know if you experienced any of that, if you experienced any fear during the storm, but I did, and there was fear that, oh my goodness, you know, this ain't going to be good. And in that moment, I had to choose, really, my faith over fear, right? I mean, but how do you do that, right? What are we supposed to do, right, in the crisis and in the storms of life? We've heard this quote before, I know. In life, you're either heading into a storm, going through a storm, or coming out of a storm, right? And last week, I think we've experienced all three, you know, of those. Amen, right? It just, life is full of storms. Storms on the outside like we experienced over this last week. And honestly, probably some of the worst storms are the ones that are going on the inside of our lives. Life is full of storms, and maybe you're experiencing storms in your own life, personal storms, maybe, you know, storms in your marriage, or financial storms, or relational or emotional storms, or maybe sickness storms in your life, or in those that you love so much. So many storms, right, in our lives. Big ones like we just experienced, but also everyday storms, you know, in the right now, when we think about the culture that we are living in and that we're raising our kids in, we think about the mental health issues that are going on in so many people's lives, or we think about, you know, our kids and their future and our future. I mean, there's just storms all around us, and life is full of them, and they come in all kind of shapes and all kind of sizes. And so what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do in those moments? How do we choose faith over fear in those moments, in those storms of our life? That's really the question that was asked 1,000 years ago by David. In Psalms 11:3, David was running from Saul's army, and the Philistines were terrorizing from northern Israel to southern Israel. And he writes these words in Psalms 11:3. He says, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? When the foundations are being destroyed, when everything is up in the air, when it's all in crisis and chaos, what are the righteous, what are good people to do?" And if you were to ask God that question, I think He would say two words. He would say, "Worship me. Worship me." And I so want us to be a church who worships Him, who focuses on Him. That day after the storm, after the hurricane, was hearing about different people, you know, and different things that happened at their houses, and so many of you were helping and serving in that area, in those areas, and of course, Romaldo Alvarez shared with us that his mom's trailer had been totally destroyed, and many of you went out there, and many of you have given to that, and we have given to help her in this situation, and Romaldo in this situation. But I went out there that afternoon, and I get there, and she wants to take me into her trailer, and we walk into her trailer, and as I was walking in, I realized that, you know, she had all kind of kids' toys, and she told me, "Yeah, I take care of 10 kids every day." And we get into the trailer, and I see the huge tree right through, you know, the ceiling of our trailer, right into the kitchen floor, all the way down to the kitchen floor, and it was just everything so devastated there. And she just, you know, kind of looked at me, and she said, "You know, in just a moment, my home has been taken away from me and my career." And it was almost like she didn't even hesitate. And she said, "But you know what? My God is still good. And I'm going to trust Him and hold on to Him. He's got a plan that is better than this one." And it's kind of like we grabbed hands here and prayed. And we just had kind of a moment of worship. a moment of worship. I think God says in those moments, worship me. Focus on me. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, go to the Lord for help and worship him continually. Psalms 34:9 says, worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all of his goodness. You see, it's in our darkest hours that we need to need most to focus on God. It's in the crisis moments. It's in the chaos. It's in the confusion. When we feel out of control, it's in those moments that we need most to focus, to worship, and to center in on God. And as we go through tough times, and maybe for you everything is good, but you're going to have things go wrong in your life, right? You're going to have those weeks when things are thrown up in the air, and there's going to be just other times like this in your life. When you're going to go through times like these, the Bible tells us to worship him, that it's the best thing that we can do. Job, at one time, was the wealthiest man in the world. He was the Bill Gates of his age. And on one day, he lost everything. He lost his business, he lost his career, he lost his family, he lost all of his possessions, he even lost his health. Everything Job had was taken away from him in one single day. And the first thing that Job did, the first thing he did was fall on the ground, face down, and he worshiped his God. I mean, how do you do that? How do you worship God in those kind of moments in your life? How do you worship God in a storm? In this book of Job, from his life, we learn many things, I think, to do in those moments as we look at to his example. And I want us to learn those this morning. And not only, you know, to learn them this morning, but we're going to try to do them this morning. And I think the first thing that we do in those moments to worship God, to choose faith over fear, is we just pour out our heart. You pour out your heart. You tell God how you feel. You just unload all of your feelings. You pour it out, every emotion that you've got. You just let God hear it. Just let it all come out. Lamentations 2:19 says, arise, cry out in the night. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. And just like you got a pitcher of water and you're pouring it out into a glass, you can pour out your heart to God and tell him all the emotions that are bottled up inside of you. So that's the first thing you do. You begin to unload your emotions to God. You tell him exactly how you feel. You know, you tell him about your anger or your grief or your disbelief or your anxiety or your fear. You know, let me just give you a little secret. God can handle your emotions. He made you. He created you with those emotions. He can handle those. He can handle your doubt. He can handle your anger. He can handle your fear, your questions, your confusion. He can handle those things. He can handle your grief. And this is exactly what Job did. The first thing he did when he lost it all is he told God how he felt. Job 7 verse 11 says, therefore I will not keep silent. I will speak out in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job is brutally honest with his God. He tells him exactly how he feels. And I just hope you go home and you read, you know, the book of Job in the Bible this week. Maybe make it, you know, part of your reading this week. Because it's in the first part of the book, Job expresses his confusion. God, why did you allow this? And then in the second part of the book, he expresses his complaint. I don't like you that you allowed this. I don't like that you allowed it. In the third part, he gives some outright bold accusations against God. God, do you know what you're doing? Are you really in charge? Are you really so loving? Are you really so great, God? Bold accusations against his God. And God can handle those. He can handle your questions. He can handle your anger. And so as we face things in our life, the correct response is not just to grin it and bear it. right? It's not just to blame somebody else, right? It's not to bury it deep and just keep pushing those emotions down. It's not just to beat yourself up with it. The response is to bring it to God and tell Him exactly how you feel. God, I'm having a struggle with You right now. And you just tell Him that. I know this is going to shock you, but I have two boys, and they've grown up now, and sometimes they want to question my judgment. I don't understand that. I mean, right? Maybe you're not surprised by that, but I mean, they don't ever doubt that I love them. They don't ever doubt that I've lived longer than them. They let me know that, you know, often. They don't ever doubt that I've experienced, you know, I have more experience than them. But sometimes they doubt my judgment. And I'd rather have my kids come to me when they question my judgment. And we would have an open, honest conversation about that. And begin to talk about that and help them to understand, right? I think that's what God would want from us. That's what your Heavenly Father would want from you. God says, come to Me. Tell Me exactly how you feel. Honesty, I think, is the best policy. In fact, at the end of the book of Job, in Job 42, God actually commends Job for spilling his guts, for being honest with him. He says, Job, you have spoken honestly. And although Job questions God's actions, you know, why did you allow this? He never stopped trusting God. David was the same way. Psalms 116:10, he says, I believed even when I spoke, I am greatly afflicted. I mean, that looks like a contradiction, right? I have faith, but I'm wiped out. I believe, but I'm ruined. I trust You, God, but my life stinks right now. I mean, doesn't that sound like a contradiction? But it's actually a statement of faith. The Bible teaches us that complaining to God in honesty is actually an act of worship. Because first, I believe that there is a God. And second, I believe He listens to my prayers. And third, I believe He'll let me say what I need to say. And He still loves me. And that's an act of faith. Complaining to God is an act of worship. When you complain to God and say, God, I don't like this. You know, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand. God says that's a statement of faith. That's a statement of worship. I love this in the Good News Translation in Psalms 116. It says it this way. It says, I kept on believing even when I said, I am completely crushed. Listen, that's the first step in connecting with God in the crisis moments of life, to tell Him how you feel. So I want us to be able to do that right now. For us just to be able to pour our heart out to God. And so I want to ask you, you know, to just join me as we pray together. Will you do that? Let's just turn our hearts to Him in whatever posture that we need to do in order to get into His presence. And as I lead us, you pray in your own heart as well. Father, we know that You know us inside and out. And it's no surprise to You, Father, that we go through a variety of emotions, especially in the midst of storms. And Father, we have felt confused, and Father, we've experienced anger and fear and anxiety. And we just honestly want to tell You this morning that these are the emotions that we have or are having. And Father, sometimes we wonder why these things happen and why You would allow things to happen. We pray, Father, that we need Your peace when we don't understand. And so right now we just confess to You our fear. We just really need to know that You really are in control. Maybe as never before. And Heavenly Father, we come before you knowing that you know us better than we know ourselves. And in our lack of understanding sometimes, today we choose to worship you. We choose to believe that you are sovereign God, that you are in control even when we don't understand. So God, strengthen our hearts that we may know that you are at work among us, that you are here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You pour out your heart to God. That's really the first step to worshiping God, and you know, in a storm or in a crisis, or, you know, to connect with him in that way, to tell him how you feel. Here's the second thing that Job did. After you tell God how you feel, you pray for his strength. I mean, when you're confused and when you're angry, you don't turn away from God, you turn toward God. When you don't understand the circumstance, you don't run from God, you run to God. And you ask him for strength, because he's got the strength that you need. One of my favorite Psalms is Psalms 121. It says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Psalms 105:4 says, look to the Lord for strength. Job 12:13 says, but God is the real source of wisdom and strength. And in Psalms 3:5, Psalmist writes, I can lie down and go to sleep and I will wake up again because the Lord gives me strength. You ever notice that the first sign of stress sometimes is you can't sleep? Anybody struggle with that? Stuff comes into your life, stuff's going on in your life, and it brings such stress on you that you can't sleep, your mind won't stop, you can't turn it off, you toss and turn, you can't stop thinking about it, whatever that is, you grieve, you're angry, you're upset, and you can't go to sleep. And God says, you know why? Because you're not trusting in my strength. He says, I'll give you the strength to get a good night's rest if you'll just trust in me. Psalms 37:9 says, the salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. God is waiting to strengthen you. He's waiting to strengthen us. And so where do I get it? Where do I get the power to handle the crisis and the stuff of my life, my problems? Where do I get the strength? There's really only one place, and it's worship. It's when you focus on God. That's really what worship is. It's like plugging into a power source. That power that we just sang about, God's power that can begin to flow through your life as you worship him and as you pray, as you talk to him, as you praise him, as you think about him. It really all comes from worship. Psalm 63:2 says, so here I am in the place of worship, eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. It comes from focusing on God when you lack strength in your life. And so I want us to pause again and just to ask God for his strength. Pray with me. Lord, we do look to you for strength and help because you are our rock and our fortress. God, you are our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gave way and the mountains quake with their surging. God Almighty, you are with us. God of Jacob, you are our refuge. You can't be shaken. God, you invite us to find comfort in your strong arms, and in you we can find rest for our souls. So today, Lord, we say in faith, you are a good God. Give us your strength. Because even though we often act like it, we often act like it deep down inside, we really don't want to live on our own power, God. So in this moment, we surrender all that we are and all that we are not to you. You alone are the strength of our hearts. Through the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. I think a third key to worshiping God in a crisis is to pursue God and to pursue His promises. Pursue God, stay connected to Him. You keep in touch with Him. You talk to Him constantly. You read His Word. And you remember that there are over 6,000 promises of God in God's Word. And He says, here's what I promise I'll do if you'll just trust me. And you don't even know what they are, right? If you don't spend time in His Word, you don't know those promises that come out of His Word. And so how can you claim them if you don't know them? And you got to stay connected and pursue God and His promises. And allow that to give you hope. Pursue God. Keep attached to Him. Keep your eyes on Him. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And you kind of look in this passage, and there's three reasons we don't lose heart. He says, don't lose heart. One reason is because we know that all the troubles are temporary. They don't last. And we know that God is using them for a greater eternal purpose. So we keep our eyes focused on God. I mean, our world can be shaken to its foundation, but the sovereignty of God cannot be shaken. It's unshakable. So we fix our attention on Him. John 16:33 says, I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties, but take heart. I have conquered the world. He says, in this world, you're going to continue to experience difficulties. But if you belong to Jesus Christ, you do not have to panic because you have a sure foundation. Hebrews 12 says, do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship. Deeply reverent before our God. And that's why I'm not afraid. That's why I can choose faith over fear, because I possess something that can never, ever be taken away from me. And that is my personal relationship to God through Jesus Christ. I know Him. And my eternal destiny has been secured. So I will choose faith over fear and worship Him. I choose to look at God and see the Lord who's in charge of history. I see the Lord who is good and great and loving. I see the Lord who notices even when a sparrow falls to the ground. That's how much I notice. He notices the details of this earth. I see the Lord who loved me enough to send His Son Jesus Christ to come and die for me. And I see a God who sits on His throne directing the affairs of mankind. He is my foundation. He is unshakable. And then finally, I think one of the most important things we can do in the midst of the storms of life, whatever they are, is we can praise His name. Listen, you're going to go through tragedy and stuff in your life. You're going to lose loved ones. You're going to find the foundations sometimes come out from under you and things go wrong in your life. But you praise God in spite of the circumstances. You don't wait for an explanation because some things in this world, they're not going to be explained until we get to the other side. And then we might not even want to know, right? But you're not going to know now. So we don't want to wait for explanation. You just praise God in spite of the circumstances. I mean, that's what Job did when he lost everything. You remember that famous verse, Job 1:21-22? And he said this, Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job did not sin or charge God with wrong. Every time I read that verse, I'm reminded of that song that we sing, right? Blessed be your name, right? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and you take away. You give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. And we're going to have opportunity to sing that in a moment as we close. I just love that in spite of everything that has happened, Job did not sin by blaming God. He praised in spite of everything. And so to me, the book of Job is about one question in life. Will a person continue to worship God if he loses everything? Will a person continue to follow and love God if everything goes wrong in his life? So let me make that personal. Would you? Would you continue to follow God, to trust God, to love God if everything went wrong in your life? I mean, that is the ultimate test of faith. And I just want to tell you, at some point in your life, you're going to go through that test. It's guaranteed. You're going to go through a time when it looks like everything in your life is going wrong. And God is going to watch and see if you'll still trust Him. Will you still trust Him? Will you trust Him when the rug's pulled out from under you? Will you trust Him when it doesn't make sense? Will you trust Him when it's chaotic or you feel crushed? And this is the ultimate test of faith, because not all of your prayers in life are going to be answered the way you want them to be answered, or be answered in the timetable that you want them to be answered in. Why can we praise God in spite of the circumstances? Because the circumstances of life do not change the truth about our God. Job, he looked for precedents in unprecedented times, right? I mean, he looked for those. And if you go through the whole book of Job, Job praised God in really six different ways and six different things. He praised God first when he said, when things go wrong, I can praise God because He is good. And He is a loving God. Job 10:12 says, you gave me life and showed me your unfailing love. My life was preserved by your care. You always have the love of God. Romans 8:38-39 says, I am convinced that nothing can be separated from us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I mean, the verse says, you know, whether you're up high in the sky or whether you're in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I can thank Him no matter what happens, because He's going to love me. In Job 36:22, he said, I can praise God that He's all-powerful. He says, God, His power is unlimited. And then 37:5, he says, we can't even comprehend the greatness of His power. And then verse chapter 23, he says, I can praise God that He noticed every detail of my life. He knows the details of what are happening to me. He sees everything I do. He watches every step. God knows my name. He knows your name. And He has every hair on your head counted. He is intimately aware of all the details of your life. And Job 34:13 says, we can praise God that He is in control. He says that from the very beginning of history, God has been in control of all the world. That God is moving history the direction that He wants it to go. In Job 23, we can praise God that He has a plan for our lives. He will fulfill what He has planned for me, Job says. And finally, Job 5:11, he says, we can thank God that He promises to protect us. He protects the sorrowful, Job says. So let's worship Him. Let's worship Him with our lives. You know what I love about that word worship? The first time that word was mentioned in the Bible, anybody know the first time it was mentioned in the Bible? I'll tell you. It was mentioned when Abraham, you remember the story when Abraham was taking his son Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him? And he gets at the base of the mountain, right? And he tells his servants, you guys stay here while Isaac and I go up the mountain to worship. To worship. And it just kind of makes me to know that worship almost always requires obedience and sacrifice. Obedience and sacrifice. It's this sacrifice of praise, of worship that He's calling us to. And it costs you something. That's why Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, in view of God's mercy, in view of what He did for you through His Son, Jesus Christ, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to Him. This is your true and proper worship. And He says, do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed, be changed by the renewing of your mind. And it's almost like He says, through this obedience and through this sacrifice of worship, you will be able to know my will for your life, my good, pleasing, and perfect will. We so want to be a church who worships, but that also understands that desire, that commitment will cost us obedience and sacrifice. And sacrifice. But let's do that. In the midst of all the circumstances of life, when the storms come barreling in, when we don't seem to understand, when we're confused, when we're angry, when we're grieving a loss, let's choose to worship Him. Let's worship Him by pouring out our heart, by praying for His strength, right? His presence, by pursuing His promises, and by praising His name. Will you do that? Pray with me, please. Maybe for you this morning, as we continue to worship our God, maybe you're worshiping Him right now. Maybe the sacrifice that He's calling you to is to say yes to Him for the very first time. To say and confess with your mouth that you really want Him to be your Lord, to be your Savior. To believe that God sent Jesus to this earth and allowed Him to live this perfect life, but then go to a cross and die on that cross to pay for your sins and my sins, and then raise on that third day so that we could be in this intimate forever relationship with Him. And maybe this morning, the prayer of your heart needs to say, God, I want to surrender everything to You. The sacrifice of praise, of worship for You is just to say, here I am. I receive Your mercy and Your grace, O God. Come in, be my Lord, be my Savior. Change me. Just say with your heart, God, You've got my attention. And I keep getting reminded, God, of how brief life really is. And I so want to be in relationship with You, a relationship that will last the rest of my life and for eternity. Just say to Him right now, thank You for creating me and loving me, and for sending Jesus Christ to die for me. I don't understand it all, but for the rest of my life, God, I want to get to know you better. I want to trust you. I want to be obedient to you and do what you tell me to do. And so, God, I ask you to give me the strength that I need. Please help me. Help me to focus on you and to worship you, God, in spite of the circumstances around me. I worship you. I trust you. Come in. Fulfill your purpose and your plan in my life. Change me to be more like your Son, Jesus, in whose name I pray. Amen. That's the prayer of your heart. You can trust that God heard you. Because the desire of his heart is for his creation to be in relationship with him. And not in just a relationship that just kind of goes through the motions, but in a relationship that allows him to begin to use you to make a difference and to be different. To be a people who says, I'm going to worship you by sacrificing my life to you, God. We're going to sing this song that Job sang. And I pray it's a song of your heart. And as we sing it, it's this moment of worship. And I just encourage you, if God is speaking to your heart, if he is pulling you, if you feel a tugging at your heart, respond. Accept him as Lord and Savior. Recommit your life to him. Whatever he's calling you to do, respond and say yes to him. Be a person who is committed to worshiping him with your life. So we'll be standing down here if you need to come for prayer or to say, hey, I'm making this decision today. Or maybe you just need to come to this altar as a symbol of today's the day that I am surrendering all to him. I'm going to give him this sacrifice of praise, all of me, because he was willing to give all of himself. So let's stand and let's sing this song of Job with all of our